Want to experience Christ United like never before? Download our app today. You can watch live and previous messages, take sermon notes, get calendar updates, find giving options, and more. Just go to your app store and search Christ United.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on our church, check out christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following at ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Hey, if God's been good to you, give him what he deserves right now. Yeah, and we're in a series called Exponential, and last week we told you that your impact in this world could go beyond just a couple of people, go beyond dozens. It could actually go to hundreds and ultimately thousands of people if you just did one simple thing. That is what Jesus left you on earth to do, and that is make disciples. If you would just make one disciple a year and teach them to make one disciple a year, who would in turn make a disciple every year, you would begin an exponential process that would actually result in thousands of people's lives being changed just by you making a disciple who can make a disciple every single year. And everybody here is probably going like, yeah, right, that sounds great, except I don't even know what making a disciple means. You're saying make a disciple. I don't know if I could define what it means to make a disciple. Let me tell you what that means. It means basically creating a Christ follower. It's helping someone else learn to live like Jesus. That makes sense? Making a disciple is helping somebody else learn to live like Jesus. So if you could do that for one person a year, and in turn let them learn to do that for one person a year and pass that on down the line, you could ultimately result in the change of thousands of lives in the process. But so many people here would say right now, I can't do it. And matter of fact, right now, if I were to just get a raise of hands, how many people could come up here right now and just explain simply how to make a disciple? Who would volunteer to come up and explain how to make a disciple right now? I don't see any hands up right now because it's so like I don't know how. And here are the reasons that most people give me why you aren't making disciples. Even though, again, it's the reason you're on the planet. The reason God did not take you to heaven as soon as you gave your life to him is he left you here to help others come to him and learn to live like him and become disciples. So a disciple is a follower of Christ. So creating Christ followers is why you're on the planet, but none of us do it. Not none of us, but very few do it. And here's the reasons why I hear most often. One is I'm not a leader. And you might be that person that just says, I'm not a leader, or I have not arrived. You know, I hadn't gotten there. I can't say to somebody else, hey, let me show you how, because I hadn't gotten to where I think I need to be myself, or I don't know all the answers. And so how am I going to help somebody else when there's so many answers that I don't know? Or finally, I don't know how to do it. I just simply don't know how to make a disciple, no matter how much I know about the Bible or other things. I don't know how to make a disciple. And so if that's where you are, I want to give you some great news. By the time you leave here today, I fully believe in the fill-in-the-blank sheet on your app or in your notes, you're actually going to, with a wholeheartedness, be able to say, I am ready and able to make a disciple. I just believe you're going to be in that place where you're going to say, yes, I can. And I know I can, and I'm ready, and I'm able, and I'm going to do it. Not just make a disciple, but I'm going to be able to make a disciple. I'm going to help somebody learn to follow Jesus, and they will be equipped to help somebody else learn. You're going to know how at the end of this time together today. So first thing is, you might be saying, yeah, but I'm not a leader. And it sounds like that's the only people who can make disciples. Like when Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28:20, he said it was teaching people to obey everything he had commanded them. And so it's like, well, I'm supposed to be able to be a teacher, right? Like Paul said when he was telling Timothy, entrust to reliable people that will also be qualified to teach others. So am I qualified to teach others? Am I a teacher? I'm not really a teacher. I'm not really a leader. Well, let me let you on some good news. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to be a leader. In fact, James said that not many of us should become teachers because teachers will be judged much more strictly. So God's not expecting everybody here to be a teacher. In fact, he has given that responsibility to a relatively small number of people to be pastors and evangelists and prophets and teachers and those people who are in those roles. And here's why he's made some people those positions. It's for this reason. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, it says this. It was Jesus, He, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service. So listen, for the teachers, the pastors, the people like in my position, our job is to equip you to be able to do what it is that Jesus put you here to do. The number one thing is you helping to make disciples, you helping to lead others to live like Jesus. So our job is to equip you. You don't have to be a teacher to do it. In fact, when we read about the spread of the church, when it was spreading like wildfire in the early church out of the book of Acts chapter 2, we find this in verse 42, that they, the people who weren't teachers, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You see, the apostles did the teaching and people responsible for the leadership were leading, but then it was all the people who were actually living it. They were putting it into practice. And as they put it into practice and they lived like Jesus and helped introduce other people, invite other people to live like Jesus, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So lots of disciples were being made by people who weren't teachers and leaders. And let me tell you why that's huge news for you. Because if you're not a teacher or you're not a leader, that doesn't mean that you're not going to be making disciples. Your job is not to say to other people, you know, hey, I'm a leader, follow me and I'll teach you how to follow Jesus. He's saying, no, you're a follower and you're inviting people to join you in following Jesus. And so whenever this time came when we realized that, wait a minute, in our church, we're looking around and we're looking at, man, God has made a lot of disciples here. In other words, you've had life group leaders and men's and women's ministry leaders and Sunday School Plus leaders. You've had lots of leaders and teachers who have helped make you a disciple, meaning that they've helped you learn to live your life like Jesus and begin that process of learning to live like Jesus. It's awesome. They've done a great job, and that's going to continue. It'll keep going. Those groups and those things that are happening are wonderful, and we're very proud of our leaders and thankful for our leaders who are doing that in your life. But the problem is, we've made lots of disciples, but we haven't made many disciple makers. Does that make sense? We haven't helped you to feel like you're equipped to make a disciple. Yet every person in here is supposed to be a disciple maker. So I want to show you who's supposed to be a disciple maker in here. Raise your hand if you are a Christ follower. Raise your hand. All right, then you're supposed to be a disciple maker. And God's just saying, look, here's the thing. You need to be equipped to do that. And so whenever I was talking with a lady from our church who has been in our church for 18 years, she would be, if I ranked top 10 women in our church that I know in terms of her devotion and commitment to the ministry, her character, her life, I'd say she's one of the top 10. And I asked her, is she making disciples? And she said, no, I really never have. And I said, why are you not making disciples? And she said very simply, I'm not equipped to make a disciple. I don't know how. I don't have the tools to make a disciple. And it made me realize something, and that is this. For those of you who aren't making disciples, it's not your fault. It's our fault. It's my fault. We've done a good job of helping to make disciples of you, but we haven't equipped you to make disciples. And so that began a process about 5-6 years ago when I started asking myself the question. It's like, God, everybody's supposed to be a disciple maker. And yet right now I had gone to seminary. At that time I had gone to seminary and I had been a pastor for over 25 years. And I honestly, if somebody said, Jeff, how do I make a disciple? I go, there's volumes and volumes and volumes of information on it and all kinds of ideas and all kinds of things. But I thought, I don't know how to clearly communicate to them how they're to make a disciple. I don't know how to equip somebody. And so I began the process right then, 5.5-6 years ago. And the first thing I did is I felt a prompting from God, and that was start getting together with men. And in that relationship, it's important that it be men and men and women because we share real intimately and real closely. So I get with some men, and I get with some men who are older than me and know more than me. And the first thing I started doing was saying, okay, I want to learn how to make disciples. Let's begin the process. Let's try to do this. Let me learn from you, and let's learn together how to make disciples. And we began that process, and over the years, what's happened is I've moved into more younger guys and some guys who aren't as far along as me, and now those guys are in groups with me. But over the process, it's been, okay, help me understand what is it that it takes to make a disciple, and how can it be easily condensed and easily grasped and easily understood by anybody? And that's been the goal. And over that time, what I've done is read all we can read. I go back over all the stuff that I've learned about church history and about the early church and about the revivals that have taken place around the world and what has God done to make disciples, and let me learn everything I can. And I've also asked people like Randy Stewart, who's like a consummate disciple maker, and he's over our discipleship process here at Christ United. So I started asking Randy, teach me how you make disciples. And we did that over this 5-6 year period of time, and over that time just gained all kinds of things that we've learned and put into practice and started saying, okay, things are beginning to become clear. And then starting a few months ago, we got together with our core leadership team. And as that core leadership team got together, we started saying, now let's just pull everything we know in and let's try to get it so radically simple that we could just give it to somebody and say, here's how. And as we started working on that, God blessed it tremendously. And we got all kinds of feedback, and we looked at some of our best disciple makers, these great life group leaders and men's and women's ministry leaders and Sunday School Plus leaders, and we just learned and started applying and bringing it together. And what we came out with on the other side was so clear and so beautiful and so simple that to me it's the most exciting thing that we've introduced at Christ United ever. I mean, everybody that gets it gets totally excited about it. Because what it really does is capture what it is to make a disciple. Now, let me tell you what really it comes down to. We've always said that everything is about a love relationship with God and with other people. Well, to help somebody learn to live like Jesus, here's two things that got to happen. I got to get the right kind of relationship with some people and right kind of relationship with God. And as those two things connect, then we begin to learn to live like Jesus together. Does that kind of make sense? So it sounds pretty simple. And really what we found at the core of making disciples from the beginning of the church until today is that disciple makers need to connect with other Christ followers, 2 to 3 other Christ followers, and just learn to live like Jesus together by first connecting with each other, connecting with God, bringing that together. And so the thing that we were brought to and we are so excited about is basically just the beginning of discipleship process is come together 1 hour a week with 2 or 3 other people and learn to live like Jesus. That 1 hour a week, we found over generations of church history, that 1 hour a week is absolutely essential because it connects you with people, connects you with God, and then from that grows everything else that it is to make a disciple. Okay? That kind of makes sense? And in that 1 hour, it doesn't seem, I want you to know how simple it is. It's not complicated. It's 20 minutes listening to each other, 20 minutes listening to God, and another 20 minutes figuring out how to take all that and put it into practice and actually live it out. That makes sense? 20 minutes listening to each other, 20 minutes listening to God, and 20 minutes figuring out how are we going to help each other live this out. How many people think you could spend an hour a week with 2 or 3 other people who themselves, like you, want to live like Jesus, and you 20 minutes listen to each other, 20 minutes listen to God, and 20 minutes try to figure out how can we actually live this? That sounds simple enough. That's how simple it is. Now, in that process, if you've got a guide in front of you, it's called a C group guide. And let me just tell you, a C group is just that. It's 2 or 3 other people getting together once a week, you know what I'm saying, and learning to live like Jesus. And that guide helps you in the process. It helps to bring in all the other things we learned about making a disciple. All the core values of disciple making are a part of that process. Things like commitment and confidence and confidentiality and life change and accountability and connection and consistency. All those parts of it in creating a Christ follower are a part of this process. And we just said, let's just make it simple where people can get together, 20 minutes listening to each other, 20 minutes listening to God, 20 minutes trying to figure it out. How do we live like Jesus together? And we just guide them through that process to where they're implementing all the principles that we've learned about making disciples. And that's what we've got. So a C group guide that you have in front of you, everybody who tests it out, everybody who tries it goes, this is unbelievably simple and profoundly powerful. Because it's connecting me to others and connecting me to God, and we're growing to be like Jesus together. It's awesome. That kind of makes sense? And so, guess what the good news is for you? The good news is for you is this. Is you always thought, if I'm going to make a disciple, I have to say to somebody, I'm the leader, follow me, and I'll teach you to live like Jesus. It's not that at all. You're a person who simply says, I'm a follower of Jesus. I want to learn to live like Jesus, and I'm asking you to join me. I just want to get together with two or three other people. I want to learn to live like Jesus. Why don't you join me? Let's do it together. And you know what's beautiful? Is that you can ask people like I did. You can ask people who are farther along than you. Isn't that cool? You can say, hey, man, I'm wanting to learn to live like Jesus. I want to get together with two or three other people. I'd love for you to be in it because there's a lot I feel like I could learn from you. You know? But let's get together and do it. So that's a C group. That's what we're introducing you to. So let me ask you this. For everybody here who feels like this, I'm not a leader. Let me ask you this. Can you fill in this blank on your page and be honest? But I am a Christ follower or a follower of Christ. I'm not a leader, but I am a follower of Christ. Now, let me tell you this. If you're not a follower of Christ, you can't make a disciple, because a disciple is somebody who is a follower of Christ. If you're not following Him yourself, you can't say to somebody else, come on, let's do this together, because you're not doing it. And so you can forget about making disciples if you're not a follower of Christ. You can also forget about heaven if you're not a follower of Christ, but we'll get to that another time, right? Because reality is, if you're not following Him, you're not going to end up where He is, okay? So if I'm a follower of Christ, I've got what I need to be a disciple maker. And somebody else will say, yeah, but I'm not arrived. I'm a follower of Christ, but I haven't gotten far enough down the road to be able to say to somebody else, hey, come on, let's live together. Because here's what most people think, is that basically if I'm going to be making disciples, that means I'm going to be going up to somebody and basically saying, I've pretty much got it together. I'd like to teach you how. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm a great example of a Christian, and I think you need a great example, so come let me be the example. That's what it sounds like to people. But that's not at all what we're talking about. We're talking about saying to somebody, look, I'm simply a person who wants to follow Christ, and I am on my way, right? I hadn't arrived. I'm on my way, and so are you. Let's do this together. Let's just grow together, and let's learn together. And so you're not being asked to have it all together. You're not being asked that you say, I've arrived. You need to be a person who's passionate, though, about getting there. That you're saying, I want to learn to be like Him and I need some help. And so when it comes to what you share, and so if you noticed your C group guide, if anybody was following along, after we've gone through the values, we begin to share with each other. And guess what we do? We just, for 20 minutes, we just ask very simple questions, like one confession question. What was the challenge for you this week? Or when did you fall this week? Or what was the temptation this week? Let's just answer one of those. And then let's answer one celebration question. When was I victorious over temptation? Or when did God do something good I need to praise Him for? Just one of those questions. And we've given questions there. And guess what? Those questions go all the way back to the revival that started. The Methodist church was never intended to be a church. John Wesley said, we don't need more churches. We've got plenty of churches. What we want to do is see lives change. So as soon as somebody said, I want to follow Jesus, He would plug them into a small group of people and they would begin to do exactly what we're talking about here. They'd just ask each other questions. What are you struggling with? And so a lot of these questions that are in this C group guide are questions that go all the way back to that, and beyond that to the early church, because what people want to know is, where are you struggling so we can help each other in the struggles? Where are you having victory so we can encourage each other in the victories? How many people love it when somebody helps you with your struggles? Anybody like that? Anybody like it when somebody encourages you in your victories? We like that too, right? And here's the thing about sharing your life with each other. When I'm honest and I can just share, and now these have different levels of vulnerability. You can be like, What's my challenge this week when my car broke down? I can just go that deep. Or I can answer it real deep, like, what sin do I need to confess that I'd rather not? You know what I'm saying? I can go as deep as I want to go. But here's the thing about what's so cool about it. You get together with two or three people that you've already asked to be with you, and you already have some level of trust with them, and you start sharing what you're honestly feeling. And the way C.S. Lewis said it was this. He said, friendship is often born in the moment when somebody says, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. You ever felt that? Man, I thought I was the only one that struggled with that. I thought I was the only one who thought like that. And then all of a sudden you realize, man, I'm not as messed up as I thought I was, or at least everybody else is as messed up as I am, right? And that feels good because we're sharing honestly with each other. That makes sense to everybody? And so you'll see, all we did was give you a guide to where you just have the right questions. And you just go, okay, let's share the answer to a confession question and a celebration question. And let's just spend some time sharing with each other and making the right connection with each other. All we've done is help, but we've used the wisdom of literally collective hundreds of years of discipleship experience to say, what are the right questions to ask so that I can honestly share what I need to share in my life with people that I trust and love? All right? So, for the person who feels like I have to have arrived before I can make a disciple, listen to what Paul said. Paul, the consummate disciple maker, said this: not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, or already been made perfect. I hadn't gotten perfect. I hadn't arrived at my goal yet. I'm not there yet. But he said, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You get the picture? How many people could say that? I hadn't arrived yet, but I'm on my way. All right, so if you're a person who says this, I have not arrived, can you honestly say this? But I am on the way. Anybody there? I'm on the way, right? I hadn't arrived, but I'm on the way. I really want to get there. I'm really striving to be who it is that God has called me to be. But then you may say to yourself, yeah, but that only gets us through the first half of the page, right? Now we're going into the next 20 minutes, turn the page over, and you see the Bible, and oh no, that's when it gets bad. Because we're going to open up the Bible, and we're going to start, and we're going to be like reading the Bible and asking questions like, what are your insights and what are your questions? And I don't know the answer to all those questions. And what happens when somebody asks a question and I don't know the answer? And I've got to be a teacher if I'm going to teach a Bible study, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm supposed to teach a Bible study. Somebody's got to teach it, right? And reality is no. No. The most beautiful thing you can do, it's one of the earliest things I learned from a man older than me and a much better disciple maker than me, is I went to him to one of his discipleship meetings, and what I noticed was, is he would just ask a question, what are your insights, what are your questions, and he would just shut up. And he would just let silence happen until people started talking. And before you knew it, man, the insights were just flying and the questions were coming. And sometimes the question and answers were obvious. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they were just obvious. Do you think I ought to take my secretary on a lunch date by myself? No. You know, but there are these things that are being asked, and questions are being asked, and insights and stuff about the Bible and everything. And he's just listening. And then all of a sudden there's a question that nobody in the room really knows the answer to for sure. And aren't you afraid they're going to look at you and go, like, what's the answer? And you know what he had the cool gumption to say? I don't know. The most beautiful response ever. I'm going to give you the one thing. I'm going to train you in the one thing that you must know how to do in order to be a part of a really good group where you're hearing God from His Word. You have to be able to say this: I don't know. You can even say it like real stupid. I don't know. Anybody? All right, 1, 2, 3. You ready? I don't know. You got it, right? Reality is that if I can say I don't know, you know, the people who scare me is pretend they know when they don't know. That's the ones who scare me, right? But if I can say I don't know, then guess what? I can ask and I can find out. And very often somebody in the group will often know, but if they don't know, then there might be somebody else who knows. And if two people in the group, what if two or three people in the group think differently about an issue? Guess what? We can ask about that too. And so, do you know what made Jesus so wise and people trust Him so much and them say, man, He's from the Lord and everything else? The earliest recognition of the wisdom and knowledge and authority of Jesus was when He was 12 years old and He was in the temple. His family had left and they had gone to Jerusalem and they were at the temple area. They had left and realized He wasn't with them. And they went back to get Him, because big crowd of family traveling together. When they went back to get Him, they went back to the temple, and they found Him in the temple courts, okay? 3 days, they found Him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers. And you know what Jesus was doing? He was saying, let me tell you. I'll tell you the answer to this, I'll tell you the answer to that, I'm going to tell you all the truth. This is Jesus, the Son of God. Was He doing that? No. You know what He was doing? Those of you who have read the story before know what He was doing. He was listening to them and asking them questions. You know what the sign of wisdom is? The sign of wisdom is when I have the capacity to be able to ask questions and listen. And so, when you get together, you're just going to spend 20 minutes listening to God, listening to other people, listening to what their answers are or their questions are. And when there's a question to which we don't know the answer, we just simply go and get the answer. That happened with Paul and Barnabas. They had some other people teaching differently than Paul and Barnabas, and there was some like conflict. Like some thought one thing and some thought another. You know all they did? They got together, Paul and Barnabas and a bunch of other believers, and they sent them to Jerusalem to see the apostles and the elders about that question. They just said, all right, we got a question we need to answer to, and so let's just send somebody to get the answer. Simple enough, right? So we're going to have a thing called a CQ&A every single week. Randy's going to help us get together a CQ&A. That's a C group where you're creating Christ followers, question and answer. So you can come and ask any question you have, right? Bible question, question about how to deal with a person, whatever. CQ&A. Simple enough, right?
Yeah.
All right, so everybody here who was thinking, I can't do it because I don't know the answers to all the questions, I'm telling you, it's a good thing if you don't know the answers to all the questions. As long as you can ask good questions, then you're okay. And as long as you're willing to say, I don't know, and let me find out, you're okay. And we're going to learn together in the process. So for everybody here who says, I don't know all the answers, can you say this? But I do know how to ask questions. How many of you here know how to ask questions? Anybody here? You're qualified. Simple enough? All right. So now somebody's saying, yeah, but. The problem is that my question is, how do I make a disciple? You still haven't made it. I don't know how to make a disciple. I mean, what are you telling me is the answer for how to be made? There's so much to know. How do I know how to make a disciple? I want to let you on the coolest thing ever. You don't really have to know. Now, you don't really have to know, because if you're a person who says, I don't know how to do it, you kind of think, well, what I have to do is I have to know enough about everything to be able to figure out everything and figure out how it all fits together and make it happen. And I'm just not there yet because it's too big for me. That's how I felt like 6 years ago. I'm like, I've been to seminary. I've heard all the stuff, the teaching. There's just so much on it. How do I figure all this out? And you're thinking, I haven't got it figured out yet. It's too complicated. How many people have ever bought a swing set? Anybody ever bought a swing set? This is from way back. Anybody ever bought a crib? Anybody ever bought a crib for your baby? Anybody? All right. Swing sets, cribs, any of that stuff. You had, right? How many people can look at a box of stuff for a swing set and go, I know how to do that. Right? I mean, like you're a swing set engineer and you got it all figured out and you know where everything goes. You know, the guy that I fear is the guy who doesn't look at the instructions but just starts to throw it together, right? Right? And then he gets 3/4 of the way in and realizes that he put one thing in the wrong place. And he's got to tear everything back down to get to the thing that he put in the wrong place. But here's the reality. You know, you don't have to know. All you got to be able to do is what? Follow instructions. That's all you got to be able to do. Is follow instructions. In fact, the person who can follow instructions is better than the person who thinks they know it all. Does that make sense? The person who can follow instructions is better than the person who thinks that they know it all. And God's saying, you don't have to have it figured out. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to have a seminary degree. You don't have to have gotten it all together and packaged where you know how it all works. All you got to do is follow instructions and watch what God does. Now, let me tell you some examples of that. From the beginning of Scripture to end, God is just amazing about giving detailed instructions. Look at when He gives the detailed instructions about how to build the tabernacle or how to offer offerings. My son's reading through the book of Leviticus, and he's going like, dude, I feel so sorry for these guys. I mean, how are they supposed to remember which way the animal faces when it's, you know, it's like, it's wild. You know, why so much detail? And I said, why do you think so much detail? And he said, you know what I think it is? It's just learning to obey God. And if we'll just learn to obey God and do it the way that He says do it, then it opens opportunity for God to move. And I said, you're exactly right. And all the way through the process, God just gives simple, clear instruction. You get into the New Testament and you have the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus gives instructions about how to pray, how to fast, what to do when somebody hits you. You know what I'm saying? He gives you instructions about everything and just makes it simple. And then you have Paul, and he's writing to the churches, and he says, this is how you worship. This is how you handle it when you're doing communion. This is how you handle it when somebody's been sinning and they won't stop. This is, let me give you instruction. Just follow the instructions. That's all you got to do is follow the instructions. When Jesus got ready to send out his 12 disciples to go out and minister ahead of Him, if you read it in Mark chapter 6, you'll see it is so cool. He gives them very detailed instructions. This is what you're to wear. This is what you're not to wear. This is what you're to carry with you. This is what you're not to carry with you. This is what you're to say. This is what you're not to say. This is where you're to stay, and this is where you're not to stay. And this is what you're to do if they accept you, and this is what you do if they don't. And He just gives them instruction. Does that make sense? Just follow the instruction. If you'll follow the instructions, then that's going to set the opportunity for God to move. You just obey, guys. Do what I told you to do, and I'll move. That kind of makes sense? Now, it's not in your notes, but if you go to Luke chapter 10, you'll find out that speaking to some people just like you and just like me, to people who aren't the apostles, they aren't the super Christians, they aren't the people that everybody's looking to say they know it all. They're commoners. And so he takes 72 of them and sends them out just like he did the 12. And guess what he does for them? He gives them instructions. This is what you wear. This is what you don't wear. This is where you go. This is where you don't go. This is what you say. This is what you don't say. This is what you do. You see what I say? And he gives them instructions. Just do this. And they do it. That's all they do. They just obey. And they come back rejoicing. They're going like, you wouldn't believe it, man. Even the demons submitted to us. This is awesome. You ought to see what God did. And Jesus says, man, you rejoice not that they demons submitted. You rejoice that your name's written in the book of life. You just celebrate that you belong to God. And then Jesus does this really cool thing. Listen to what he says. At that time, Jesus, full of Iov, he had a lot of Iov in him. If you don't know what Iov is, you're not a really spiritual person. I have no idea what word that was before the misspell there, but joy, thank you. That is awesome. Just cut off that little tip and it looks like a totally different thing. That's awesome. All right, so Jesus, I love it. I love it. That's going to be remembered forever. I love it. Thank you. Man, thanks to the guys in the booth. But full of joy through the Holy Spirit, he said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. Is that cool? Jesus said, you didn't use the scribes and the Pharisees and the ones that everybody looked at as the great spiritual giants in the street. You took common children, you took the simple people. And that's what Jesus did when he chose his disciples. He chose ordinary, uneducated people. He said, I want to use you. And Father, you chose to use the children instead of those who are the great learned people. Isn't that beautiful? How many people realize what that means for you? All these guys did was follow instructions. And God's just saying, guess what you need to do? It's very simply just follow the instructions. And I can then move. You follow the instructions, I'll move by my Holy Spirit, and I'll do things through you that only I can do. You just follow the instructions. Who could do that? Now, what's interesting about that when we think about following the instructions is this. I led groups forever. I mean, I've been leading groups for years and years and years. Over the past 6 years, I've been leading groups with great intentionality, trying to learn to be a better disciple maker. In the process, we begin to put it together in a very clear sheet, the one you've got in front of you that has questions already written on it. And the questions that are written on it just kind of give you direction. Like after you get to that Bible section and you're finished with that, it goes into that last little section that I said is so important, which is how do we live this out together. Now listen, here's what I've been doing. I've been getting together and I've been using all of my great leadership ability and skill to try to guide the meeting to where everything happens that needs to happen. And I just started doing something a couple of months ago. I started going like, why don't I just follow the instructions? Right? And so instead of me using all my creativity and all my wisdom and all my experience and everything else, either I or have just another guy in the group just read the instructions. And so the other day we're doing this and we're doing this one and it says this, commitment to life change. This was Saturday morning with a young man that I love that I'm meeting in a C group with. Commitment to life change. Based on what God has shown me today, what am I going to stop, start, or continue doing this week? I wouldn't have asked that question if I didn't just follow the instructions. And we've been reading God's Word and we've been talking about our lives and what's been going on. And he's been going through kind of a tough time because he shifted his shifts. And when you shift your shifts, your time get all whacked up and you don't have the time with God like you would normally have. And so he's just kind of struggling with stuff. And so I asked the question, based on what God has shown me today, what am I going to stop, start, or continue doing this week? And you know what he says? I'm going to stop listening to WKZQ on my way to work. And instead, I'm going to listen to Christian music, or I'm going to spend that time memorizing Bible verses. Now, let me ask you, how big do you think that's going to be in that man's life? How much do you think that's going to impact how he is with his wife and his children, how he is at work when he gets there, how he does it living like Jesus? I'm just going to stop listening to KZQ. You might take notes on that, somebody here. What would happen if I just spent that time listening to something that was building into my life character? Now, you know what would have happened if I had not just simply followed instructions? I would have never asked that question. And he would have never thought through, wait a minute, it isn't enough to just listen to the word. You got to put it into practice, right? We need to actually do what it says. And he makes a decision like that. That kind of makes sense? I'm in another group a few weeks back. And again, I'm just decided, Jeff, just follow instructions. Don't try to make it up. Don't try to wing it. Just follow the instructions. So we get down to this question. Accountability and connection. How are you going to connect this week to help each other live out our commitments to follow Christ? I asked that one group, and a guy said, you know, I've been getting up late, and it's a bad start, and I haven't been having time with God and everything else. And so he says, if someone would just call me every morning and just make sure I'm up, that'd be awesome. And if I hadn't asked that question, they never would have done that, and he wouldn't be getting his call, and he wouldn't be getting out of bed. And everybody see the picture? And God just said, it gives me a chance to do something that's going to connect you. Another day I was reading that question, and one of the guys in the group was reading that question, and all of a sudden, what are we going to do this week to help live out our commitment to follow Jesus, you know, to follow Christ? And I thought about, you know, I'm going over to help with a flood victim in Nichols. And so I said, hey, if y'all want to go, who wants to go? So just send out a WhatsApp to the guys in the group and say, who wants to go to Nichols? One guy took me up on it that first time, and we went to Nichols together. We've been in a group for a long time together, but we went to Nichols. It's so cool. When you go do something like together, you crawl under a house and pull out wet stuff, and it's cool. You get muddy together. It's a different kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? So we just came out, and we're already loving each other better than ever before. I mean, it was really cool. And then we got the anger, and my car just broke down, just stopped at a stop sign. And I'm going like, you know what's so cool is I got this guy with me. I'd be going off if it wasn't for that. But right now, yeah. I handled it like, no big deal. Let's just push it over on the side. We walked down the street and got a Ned Burger in Aner. If you've ever gotten a Ned Burger in Aner, you can see God was behind that car breaking down because got me a Ned Burger, right? We ended up hooking up with some other people, and just God just really blessed the time and everything else. A week or two later, asking the same question, another guy joins us, and we just share. But you know what? If I just never read the question, right? It just opened a door for God to do something pretty simple, isn't it? And then I'm in a meeting this Saturday morning with this young man and asking the question about unconnected friends. And we prayed for our unconnected friends, just like the little sheet says. And then asked this question. It says, who is feeling led to begin a new C group for your unconnected friends? And all of a sudden, this guy sitting across from me, who 6 months ago himself would have said, I don't even feel like I'm living as a follower of Jesus. Even though I've believed in him for a long time, I just haven't been living it the way I want to live it. And now 6 months into the process, he never would have thought, boy, I'm a disciple maker, right? But all of a sudden he says, you know what, there's a guy that I work with that's really struggling in his marriage, and he is a guy who wants to follow Jesus. He said, I'm going to ask him this week if he wants to get together with me. And he said, this thing right here can change his life. And you know what? All of a sudden he realized, I can do the same thing that Jeff's been doing, right? I can just read the questions and let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. And he felt fully ready to start making a disciple. Is that awesome? Yeah. All right, so anybody here ready? You ready? I just want to ask you a question. Ask you a question. It's extremely important. How many people here would say, I'm not a leader, but I am a follower of Jesus Christ? Raise your hand real high. How many of you just say, I hadn't arrived, but I am on my way? Can you say that? I'm on my way. How many people could say, I don't know all the answers, but I do know how to ask questions? Can you say that? And then how many of you could say, I don't really know how to do it, but I can follow simple instructions? Can you do that? Then you can fill in this blank without any hesitation. I am ready and able to make disciples. Fill that in. I am ready and able to make disciples. And you know what's more than that? This is what's exciting about it. If you make disciples this way, by simply taking what we've got and just following the instructions, just like your preacher does, you know what I'm saying? Let's just Let's just follow and just let's follow. And this is based on God's Word. Next week you're going to learn how rooted in God's Word this is. It's powerful. But if you can just do what He says and just follow the instructions, the Holy Spirit can move and move powerfully in that process. But guess what you're going to be doing? You're not just going to be creating a disciple. You're going to be helping somebody to not just learn to live like Jesus, but they're going to be going like, I could do this. You're going to be creating a disciple maker. Do y'all see, understand what I'm saying? The people you're doing this with will say, I can do that. And then guess what? The people they do it with, what will they say? I can do that. Isn't it cool? I can do that. So this means that C groups equip me not just to make disciples, but to make disciple makers. So I want to ask you, would you be willing to be a part of it? How many people feel like, I could do that? Raise your hand. I mean, I could do that. I'd be embarrassed not to raise my hand right now if I were you. But anyway, how many people... Right? How many people feel like, I could do that? I could do that. Starting in January, we're going to invite everybody to do it. Your leaders, 130 of your leaders have already buried in on this, and they are more excited about this than anything we have introduced to Christ United that I can ever remember. People are already going out and starting groups and wanting to get going. I just want to encourage you, hold back the reins a little bit. You can try this out a little bit and talk to some friends about it and get excited about it, but don't start your group right now because of Christmas and the holidays coming. We don't want you to get a group started and then people are going here and there and all of a sudden it's coming apart. So what we want you to do is be telling them, hey, after January, starting January, we're going to get together once a week, two or three other people learn to live like Jesus. Sound cool? Sound cool? It's going to be good stuff. Let's, this next song, I think, are we singing Oceans? Y'all, we're singing Oceans. I don't know if y'all like Step Out on the Water, dudes. You ready? You ready? Who's ready to step out on the water and trust God to do something only God can do? Can you do it? Let's stand together.
Thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. If you'd like to respond to today's message, or if you want to share how God is using this ministry in your life, please send us an email to media@christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following @ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you.